Right Chamber Podcast.
In every episode, we will talk about pivotal topics relating to medicine and surgery in the UK and what it is like to be a doctor today. We will be inviting doctors across the different specialties to discuss their experiences and give an insight into what their journey has been like.
So sit back,
ignore the traffic,
and enjoy the Right Chamber Podcast. Produced by the Ron Grimley Undergraduate Center.
My name is Shah.
And I'm Abby.
We're going to talk about a very important topic of women in surgery.
So we've chosen this topic because as doctors and aspiring surgeons, we want to have more open and honest conversation about what it's like being a woman in this specialty, in this field.
I guess to get a unique perspective, we thought that it would be nice to have a consultant here as well. So can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your journey?
I'm Sandy Shivalkar. I am a consultant vascular surgeon. I do pediatric surgery as well. So I'm a named pediatric surgeon in the District General Hospital. I originally come from India. So I did my basic MBBS degree in a place called Pune, which is a beautiful city in the middle of India, I would say. It was quite good to get an admission because there is a competition to get into medical school. So I did that. And following that, I did my MS, which is Master in Surgery. So I was a surgeon back in India itself before I came here. After doing MS, I thought of getting a higher qualification like FRCS. And that's the reason I came to England to do fellowship. And here I am. I did my fellowship and I stayed here. I developed interest in vascular surgery because I worked with a couple of very good vascular surgeons in Wales. And that really stimulated me to specialize in vascular. And I did vascular and became a consultant here. I've been consultant in Russell's Hall since 2002. And wow. I enjoyed my journey all the way through from Pune in India till here in UK to in Dudley. Hey, very good time.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So you've told us a bit about your journey, sort of becoming a surgeon. What inspired you to pursue this career?
Yeah, I always wanted to be a surgeon because I liked the surgical personality, maybe, because that's how my personality is. And there were a lot of discouragement from my friends, senior colleagues. They said, oh, your husband is going to be a surgeon. So isn't it better that you become an anesthetist so that you can help each other and he can operate and you can do anesthesia? And I thought, why? If I want to be a surgeon, I am going to be a surgeon. Oh, I just don't. And we can support each other being surgeon. We can assist each other, help each other in surgery. Why it has to be anesthesia? Don't take me wrong. I'm not trying to say anesthesia is bad. But I wanted to be a surgeon, so for me, it was very important to be a surgeon. And I have this aptitude. I will do what I want to do, which is important, I think. Everybody should try and do what they are most interested in rather than what other people tell you to do, because people can tell you anything as per their liking, as per their convenience. I mean, some people will take your interest in at heart, but it's really what you want to do, because whatever you decide, it sticks with you till end of your working career or even later on, because you get recognized as a surgeon, as a physician, as an anesthetist. So it is important, I think. You should really have real interest, your real heart into it, and that's what you should do. And that's what I did.
That's very interesting you hear as well, because obviously we're at that stage where we're still deciding.
Absolutely, yeah.
And we still get that a lot where we're told, do you want to rethink? Do you want to reconsider other specialties? But yes, it's interesting to hear that you stuck to surgery and you saw it through.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what, and even if I relive my life, I go through the journey again. I will take the whole same journey. I will not change it. I will not lie and change it.
Yeah, that's amazing. We would like to know what sort of unique challenges you face. So during your training and then also during your professional life being in surgery.
Yeah. So when I started back home in India, even then, that was in 85, so long time ago. Yeah. So there were not many female surgeons doing surgery. Of course, I had a role model who I always looked up to, and I still remember and think about her very highly. So yeah, I had problems because I was the only junior in my firm or in the department at that time. And the same story continued. Even when I came to UK, I trained in Wales, and I was the only female surgical trainee in Wales, all over Wales, which is a big region. From my memory, I think we were 46 registrars, and I was the only female registrar then. There is an interesting story. I am fellow from English College as well as two Scottish colleges, which is Edinburgh and Glasgow. And it happened that I did my first fellowship in Edinburgh. And it was my oral, which was happening in the Edinburgh College. And in between the two orals, I did one table and I was desperate to use the toilet. So I just came quickly out and said, "Where is the toilet?" And the person who was helping us looked a bit puzzled. "There is no female toilet on this side. You have to go all the way to the other side because there are not many ladies come to do the exams." Wow. That situation had changed since. Now there are more ladies' toilets in the Royal College in Edinburgh and in England. So I literally have to run to come back in time for my second fiber because it was indeed very far away. So yeah, I mean, this is a funny story, of course, but there have been other challenges, like when I became a consultant, mainly I had some female registrars by then because we have progressed in years by then. But I used to have many male registrars, and I used to be the shorter one. So the consultant, we used to be shorter one, and bless them, they had to bend and operate, or I had to take a stool so that I'm on the same height so that my registrar don't have to bend and operate when they are operating. So yeah, I had some funny challenges like that. I can't think of any other serious challenge which I had to face. Not really. Imagine not having female toilets. Close by. There was one, but I had never went anywhere. I mean, there were lots of male toilets nearby, but not the ladies' one.
It just makes us think we have come a long way.
When I started, I remember there were 4% of female surgeons, and I am very pro, you know, for ladies to join surgery, and I've done lectures in the medical schools and in conferences, so that number has gone up quite drastically. So we have an association called Women in Surgical Training, WIST. So I was a very active member and a rep for that post.
Just wanted to ask you, have you got any experiences that, you know, you'd like to highlight for those coming after you and how you overcome them as well over the years?
Yeah, I mean, anywhere you go, you have some bad experiences, some good experiences. I felt, as a woman, my trainers looked after me. I have lots of good memories in general. Of course, there are some bad memories, but they are thankfully not as many as I have good memories. Yeah, I had some remarks that, what do you think you're really going to be a surgeon? Do you think you are going to reach where you want to reach? That sort of subtle remarks. But no, because I'm a woman and I'm came from abroad, I think I worked harder at my choice to prove myself, to show my seniors and people observing me that I'm not any less than anybody, my colleagues. So yes, I did work harder to prove myself. I was mother as well when I was here. My son was born in India, but he was still quite young. He was 4-year-old when he came, and it wasn't very easy to juggle my family life and my practical life. So to overcome that, I chose, Wales is a very big region, so I chose to live in a hospital accommodation. So every year I moved because you can get placed in Cardiff, which is South Wales, Swansea, which is the west end of South Wales, or in Bangor, which is North Wales, or in Wrexham, which is another part of. So it is a big area. And I couldn't have lived in one place, say Cardiff, because Cardiff to Bangor is a good 4 to 5 hours journey, which is not a motorway, which is a windy road. And if you get stuck behind a truck, that's it. It's very difficult. So I moved every year, which was good so that in between, particularly at night time when I was on call, I could come home if I needed to. So even if there was an au pair or one of my parents to look after my son, he knew that mom is there as well, whenever possible. Of course, if there were cases in the hospital, you had to be up and operating on them, which was different. But yeah, that wasn't easy. Looking after the child and making sure he goes to school in time, he comes home in time, he gets some food, he's looked after well. So maybe you have to spend a bit more for the child care because it's a very busy job. But yeah, it can be done. It is achievable. And looking at my son now, he's a consultant himself. He chose to become a doctor eventually. My job or my career, I don't think has affected him negatively. If at all, I will say it has affected him positively because he did get benefits. But yeah, I had that guilt that I'm not there. Like my mother. My mother was a housewife and she was there 24/7 to look after us. I wasn't there like that for him. But there you go. You can't have everything. Yeah. But you can be a mom. You can be a wife. Yeah. And you can be a surgeon as well.
I come from a family of doctors as well. So my mom was a doctor. But yes, I know how challenging it is because when we were young, she had to sort of take a gap in her career as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think you mentioned you had help. So it's challenging. And a lot of people sort of overlook that aspect of it where you have to work twice as hard to sort of make.
You do. I have only one child and I chose that because I thought it would be impossible for me to have more than one because vascular surgery is very busy. And even as a trainee, I was busy. But now I have some registrars who had 2 and 3 children. And they are managing it very well without any problem whatsoever. So it's not the end of the world. You can have children, you can have family, and you can continue to train as a surgeon and continue to practice as a consultant as well.
The next question sort of involves you going into theatres. So do you think when you enter an operating theatre, do you sort of think that you lose your sense of identity or is it the opposite? Like you feel sort of more secure in your identity?
It's more the opposite. I feel secure. I feel, because you are the leader as a consultant, there's a team. So there are you as a consultant surgeon, then there are juniors in your team. Then there is an anesthetist at the top of the table. There are junior anesthetists. Then there is a nursing staff. But as a surgeon, you are responsible for whatever happens in theatre. And you are the team leader. You just have to take that responsibility in your hand. And it happens because you do get training. You get trained to do that and run the drill smoothly. So I like to be theatre and I like that feeling of being in charge and, to have the complete control. It is important because at the end of the day, you have to look after your patients and make sure that they are not being harmed in any way because that is our principle, do no harm to our patient. So, yeah, I do feel under control, in fact, when I'm in theatre.
And that's good to hear.
So I know you said that you feel in control in theatre. What about when you step out? Have you had any challenges dealing with patients or like the team in general as a surgeon?
Nothing stands out. I mean, as you progress, as you become senior, there can be problems with other colleagues or other members. There are some notorious juniors sometimes, difficult trainees you come across. But it becomes part of the drill. It just becomes automatic as you get mature. and you know how to overcome it. What about with patients? Do they deal with you any differently than you think they will deal with any? Not really. No, I never had any such problem at all. I mean, at odd times, you get called as a nurse. Can you give me a warm water? Doesn't matter. It doesn't offend me. If somebody asks me a water, I will give what is wrong. Not that as a consultant, you're not supposed to give water to your patient. So they don't do it on purpose, because that's the thing, isn't it? That lady is a nurse. But there are now some male nurses as well, which are very good. There has been some misunderstanding at times. But no, in general, I never had any issue. As a female surgeon, never, not a single episode I can remember that anybody. In fact, I did have love and praise from the patients, my patients, and I haven't got any. Of course, I had some complaints and some issues, but they weren't because I'm a woman.
No.
It was just as a surgeon. Yeah.
There's a research that sort of talks about how patient outcomes are better when there's a woman surgeon.
Yeah, so I like that research. Yeah.
so do you believe that, or what are your opinions about it?
I absolutely believe that. Okay. I absolutely believe that. I mean, it is a fact that, there is a dictum that to be a surgeon, you need ladies' fingers. Yeah. And a lion's heart. Yeah. And eagle's eyes. You know, we know that big sentence. So we automatically have ladies' fingers, you know, so we should take advantage because, you know, we do, it is a fact, we stitch better, because that is maybe a genetic skill which has come to us. So, I agree, definitely. Yeah. I like that. Female surgeons' outcomes are better.
That's good. That's encouraging for us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all girls should take advantage of this natural ability and should work more on that to get even better.
Yeah, obviously it's a lot of hard work still.
It is. I will not deny that there is no hard work. Unless you are prepared for the hard work, you should not enter the specialty. But if you are determined and if you want to do it, there is nothing which can stop you. So if you want to do it, do it. But it is not a easy walk in the park. I mean, to achieve anything, you have to work hard.
Yeah.
Not forget just to be a surgeon. To get to a stage, to get on the top, you have to work hard. Whatever specialty you are in, you have to work hard. But you know, with surgery, it is mental as well as physical. And you have to keep fit. It is very important to keep fit. And I will recommend that for all the females who want to be surgeon, to stay fit and exercise regularly. And the fitness, physical fitness, as well as fitness of the mind is important, because you have to learn to stay calm. And you get training while you are training into your career. You automatically get that training. But you have to, it will be good if you take some special efforts to stay calm and have a mental steadiness.
I think that's really good advice.
It's very important. Very important. So it's not easy. You have to work hard.
I know that you said that obviously we understand the challenges of the job itself, but how do you balance that with family? Like, you've spoken about sort of raising your son as well, and how that was, you know, how you had to go through that. How has it been since then, like growing up? How do you balance work with family life and personal interests, for example?
It's just, you know, to make compartments. And when you're at work, just give full, dedicate yourself to work. And when you're at home, just be at home. And it's the compartmentalization in your brain.
Yeah.
So keep work at work. I mean, I'm saying that, but I have taken work at home at times.
Yeah.
So if I've done something complicated, you naturally keep thinking about it, and then you get aloof naturally, and maybe your son is telling you something, what happened in the school, and you're not listening. But then you have to realize that and correct it so that you can, because you have to give your time to your family. So when you're not on call, you should give 100% of your time. I mean, there are other things to do at home, like you have to continue writing, doing all your paperwork, do your research, and read your journals. So there are things to do, but it's just quality time. You have to give it to your husband as well as to your child or children, if you have more than one. And compartmentalization, that's important. Yeah.
Do you think it was easy keeping up with your interests as well, apart from family life? Because I, to be honest, as a junior doctor, also sort of struggled with that, where I put so much time into work that at home I just lose my interest in my hobbies.
Yeah, I'm afraid it does happen that you do few things, but you can't do everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I had interest in drawing and I won prizes when I was in school. So at a quite high level of aptitude and liking for art, drawing particularly. But you'll be surprised to know, since I entered surgery, I haven't really taken a paintbrush in my hand. I mean, of course, surgery is an art in itself, and you continue doing that. But I just given up on my drawing, and now I have a little more time on me, so I might just consider going back to it. Reading, I was a voracious reader before, but now that I just read medical journals and storybooks. I mean, of course, I will read a storybook, but not like before. So yeah, you do sacrifice because you have to concentrate on other things like work, child, husband, and other jobs, and your hobbies do take a back seat, I'm afraid.
Mm.
Yeah. Maybe somebody who is really able can do everything. But I must admit, I struggle.
But I think it's just nice to hear you say the honest truth about it.
And you have to decide priorities, what is more important in your life, and just follow that.
Sometimes it's okay. Some things go. You can't actually do everything.
It is difficult to have everything.
So you've already mentioned sort of a role model you had back in India, someone you looked up to. So do you want to talk about a few role models?
Of course. So this is Mrs. Mehta, and she was an upper GI surgeon. And she was my role model. And she was such a devoted surgeon, devoted to her patients. She was an excellent surgeon. She was very thin, small lady, but very good surgeon. Really amazing. When she was out in those days, she was a smoker. So I didn't follow that, obviously. Because she was so excellent in the work she did in operation theater, I watched her and I had it in mind that I want to be like her. So she was my female role models. And then later on, I had some male role models as well who stimulated me to be in vascular surgery. And they looked after me all the way through. Even if, as a consultant, if I had a problem, I would ring and talk to them and get some advice. I had some role models in this hospital itself. From surgery, outside surgery, who supported me, showed me the light, and when I had some difficult periods, I had people to go to and talk to them and discuss issues and problems. And they don't have to be senior. Even some of your juniors can teach you as well. This teaching just carries on, I think, learning. Carries on.
One of the few reasons I got into surgery, obviously my interest itself, but apart from that, it's just the sort of people that I have that I look up to, and the role models
it makes
a big difference.
It does make a big difference to have somebody good in front of and to be like that person in life. It does help.
Definitely.
So this is our final question, and it's: what advice would you have to aspiring surgeons, female surgeons in particular, coming up today? And in terms of like the barriers or the challenges they would face, what advice would you give to them?
Well, my only advice is, girls, if you want to do it, do it. there is nothing. Just believe in yourself, be confident, prepare yourself for the task. So as I said, you know, prepare your mind, prepare your body by increasing your capacity, your ability, your stamina, and work hard. There is nothing, you know, other than working hard, and you can do it. It is possible. And you can have a family, you can have a normal life, and you can be a good surgeon. So it's just what you want to do. Just prepare in your mind that that's what you want to do, and do it. And there are so many branches in surgery. So you, and it is your choice once you've decided to be a surgeon, which branch you go to. There is a vascular surgery, like I have chosen. There is upper GI, colorectal, breast surgery suits some people. So, or a plastic surgery, or any other branches of surgery. But it is doable and not impossible. And if you want to do it, don't get discouragement from others. Just do it.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. It was very nice having a chat with you. Thank you for joining us today. And I'm sure that everyone that's watching as well, they've taken something from this conversation and from the advice that you've given them as well.
So this draws us to the end of our first episode. Thank you once again for joining us. And we look forward to seeing you guys in the next one.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
The Right Chamber Podcast. Produced by the Ron Grimley Undergraduate Center.